Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
You know, we're all wired to worship and to live and express faith in someone or something. Which faith is true? There's a lot of belief systems out there. And next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study which faith you can count on. Stay with us. That's next on Daily in the Word. You know, there sure are a lot of belief systems out there and a lot of people that claim to have the corner on truth. But the fact is, there's one set of truth that you can count on. There's one God and one word that He's given to us. Amongst all the faiths, there's one that rises above all of them. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to answer the question, which faith? Welcome to this program, Daily in the Word, that features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday, and it's our joy to open God's Word with you. And today we're going to answer the question, which faith? By the way, don't forget you can find out more about this ministry at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can subscribe to the Daily in the Word devotional and the podcast and listen to this program at your convenience on your phone or iPod or computer. All of that and much, much more is found at dailyintheword.org. But now let's begin this series in Romans chapter 1 as we study creator or creation. Here's Paul Chappell.
There has been much opposition to creation and to creationism because there is much opposition to God's presence in the life of an unbeliever. Someone that is non-believing, someone that has rejected the God who we read about and study in the Bible, would no way give credit or credence to the creative powers of God. This past December at Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, in a large courtroom decision, and perhaps one of the largest since the Scopes monkey trial of 1925, there was a decision that said the teaching of intelligent design would be barred from the Pennsylvania classroom. And the judge said intelligent design was simply creationism in disguise, and they did not want children being taught that there is a God who has power over the universe. And we see that type of battle going on in many cases, the world continually saying, keep God out of the public venue. And oftentimes when creation is presented, there are those who, having no illumination of the Holy Spirit, no knowledge of Jesus Christ, they will sweep aside in its entirety the doctrine concerning this matter of creation. Even for those of us who know the Lord, and sometimes young people in Sunday school, without faith in God's Word, it cannot be understood. I heard about a Sunday school that taught about God's creative power, and the teacher had taught how God created the heavens and the earth, and God created male and female, and the teacher gave the story of how God created Adam, and then from Adam He took a rib, and the woman was created from the side of Adam. And a little boy named Johnny, he was listening to that intently and trying to comprehend that in his mind. A few days later, he was at home, and he became ill, and he was laying on the couch. His side hurt terribly. His mother came and said, Johnny, what's wrong? He said, oh, he said, Mom, he said, I don't feel well. He said, it hurts right here. He said, I think I'm having a wife. He didn't really know how to interpret that story of how Eve came into existence. Husbands, don't take that joke one step further. But you know, human history began with man knowing God. Human history began with man understanding who he was, and then human history is filled with man turning away from God. In the beginning, God created, but since the beginning, man has rebelled, and man has turned away from God. I want you to notice in Romans chapter 1 this morning, God's truth revealed. God has revealed his truth. Some say, what about the person that has never known? And we'll look at those things this morning and in the weeks to come. And some say, what about the person that has never heard? But I want you to hear this morning that God has, since the beginning of time, for more than 6,000 years of recorded history, God has revealed himself to this world. The Bible says in verse number 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. God's truth has been revealed in the first place this morning in man's conscience. That is to say that there is a God consciousness found in all men. It is unnatural for a person to not believe in God or in some power higher than himself. This is innate truth. Or knowledge that is not acquired. It is innate. It is within a man to know that there is a God. For the Bible declares that God is manifest in them. That God hath showed it unto them. History demonstrates the universal religious element from culture to culture, from continent to continent. And wherever men have traveled, they have seen people. Though their worship is often misplaced, there is always the concept of a greater being. There is the universal understanding from culture to culture of the existence of a worldwide flood. There are many cultures who believe in a substitutionary atonement. Their faith is not in Christ for the substitution, but they have this concept of a substitutionary atonement. A scientist wrote these words, this supreme being is to be found among all the primitive cultures, not indeed everywhere the same form or the same vigor, but still everywhere prominent enough to make his dominant position undeniable. You see, everywhere anthropologists have gone and everywhere scientists and everywhere preachers and missionaries have traveled, there is this universal understanding that there is a God. You see, man is aware of God's existence and man is aware of God's wrath against sin. Romans 1:23 says this, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. May I say, based upon the text this morning, that children are not born as atheists. They are born as theists. Atheism is a learned thought process. Theism, or the belief that there is a God, is something that is within the heart of every person. Romans 1:19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. God has revealed himself in man's conscience. Secondly, this morning, God has revealed himself in his creation. In God's creation, we see the revelation of God himself. Now, to be sure, he has revealed himself in the Holy Bible. He has revealed himself at the empty tomb. God has shown himself alive by many infallible proofs. The Lord Jesus was shown alive. But here the text this morning speaks of his revelation through creation. Verse 20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. And so God tells us in Romans 1 that the creation is a revelation of the invisible things of God now being made known to us. Creation reveals the Creator personally. You want to know how strong God is. You want to know how wise God is. You want to know of his infinite capacity to hold and to maintain this world in its existence. Then study and see around you the Rocky Mountains and see around you the rivers and the streams and see about you the wonderful creation of God. For it was in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. Mark 13:19. For in those days shall be affliction such such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. By the way, Jesus Christ is the eternally preexistent Son of God. He did not begin His existence in Bethlehem's manger, as the Jehovah's Witness falsely tell. The fact is that Jesus Christ is eternal God. The fact is that Jesus Christ was there on creation's morning, and that when He spoke the worlds into existence. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10, and Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands. Over and over again, the Bible declares for us that God is Creator, that He has all power to create and sustain the world. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Now, the Bible never defends the existence of God. It assumes the existence of God. And God was in the beginning. And the Bible does not start out defending His eternal existence, but rather showing the creation of the world. God is the eternal, uncaused cause. For the Bible says in Psalm 90 and verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou didst form the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Creation reveals the Creator personally. Stare out at the galaxies and stare out at the stars and observe the solar system, and you're just beginning to understand the eternal nature of our God. And then notice secondly, this matter of creation. Creation reveals the Creator powerfully. You want to know how powerful God is? You've got some problems in your life today. You're wondering if God has the resources to take care of your need. Well, the Bible says in verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see, in the beginning, God created. That means to make from nothing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. One author wrote about his study concerning God's creative powers in these words: biological evolution can only take place after there was some sort of living matter that could replicate itself and then grow in complexity through mutation and survival of the fittest. I wanted to go back even further and ask the cornerstone question of human existence. Where did life begin in the first place? The origin of life has intrigued both theologians and scientists for centuries. The most amazing things to me is the existence itself, said cosmologist Alan Sandage. How is it that inanimate matter can organize itself to contemplate itself? On the other hand, if the evidence points in the other direction toward an intelligent designer, then Darwin's entire evolutionary house of cards would collapse. Every man must come to this place in his life. Every woman must come to the place where by faith they trust in the theory of Darwin, or by faith they trust in the Word of God. Either we are here because of accidental explosions and mutations over billions of years and through the survival of the fittest, or we are here because God actually knows what He's doing and has a purpose and a plan for our life today. I thank God this morning. I believe by the grace of God, I am not here by accident, but I am here with God's purpose in mind, and you are here with God's purpose in mind, and together we are here to glorify His holy name. It's not all about an accident. It's all about the wonderful plan of Almighty God. Psalm 8 and verse 3, when I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that Thou visitest him? Creation reveals the Creator personally, and creation reveals the Creator powerfully, and creation reveals the Creator's priority. You see, God has a will and a priority and a plan for this world. Oh, we may not always understand it, but be sure, my friend, there are no accidents with God. And God has a plan even for the return of His Son to this world. God has a plan for our eternal existence. He is a God who reveals great priority in His Word. Notice in verse 20, the Bible says clearly in the latter portion, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Notice this phrase, being understood. God says you can understand my priority. You can understand my eternal plan and design for your life. Biochemist Michael Behe spoke of it in this way. The result of these cumulative efforts to investigate the cell, to investigate life at the molecular level, is a loud, clear, piercing cry of design. The conclusion of intelligent design flows naturally from the data itself, not from sacred books or sectarian beliefs. The reluctance of science to embrace the conclusion of intelligent design has no justifiable foundation. Many people, including many important, well-respected scientists, just don't want there to be anything beyond nature. And my friend, when you reject God, you will swallow hook, line, and sinker every lie of the devil. Why does Darwin's theory continue to be taught many times as fact in our secular colleges? Because of men and women who refuse to believe God. To refuse to believe God exists. Who scoff the Word of God. Who scoff the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Who blame every problem in the world on fundamentalist religion rather than face up to the fact that there is a God in heaven before whom they will stand one day. You see, evolution is not a science. It is a philosophy and a theory which has never been clearly and absolutely shown to be factual. It is rather for mankind a straw man to hide behind while he refuses to acknowledge Jesus Christ as his Lord. Psalm 90 and verse 2 says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." God's truth has been revealed. But notice secondly this morning, God's truth rejected. You see, the problem is not that men have never heard. The problem is that they have heard and they have rejected Him. They have turned their backs on a holy God. Now, how does the heathen world respond? Many times the heathen world responds by ridiculing the truth, rejecting the truth, living their own way. One boy in biology class, he was raised in the family of a scoffer. His dad told him there was no God, and he was sitting next to a Christian boy, and this young man with a little sarcasm looked at the Christian young man. He said, "You know, it wouldn't make any difference to me if my grandfather had been a monkey." The young boy thought about that. He said, "Well, it might have made a difference to your grandmother." I like what Dr. B.R. Lakin used to say, "I ain't no kin to the monkey. The monkey's no kin to me. I don't know much about your ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree." I'm glad today I'm not here by accident. I'm glad I'm here by the design and purpose of Almighty God. But God's truth has been rejected. Throughout history, throughout generations, throughout cultures, God's truth has been rejected. Notice, first of all, the Bible says that they possess the truth. The heathen world has possessed the truth. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, notice that phrase, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see, the world has known that God exists. The world has known that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation that has come into the world. And men love darkness, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now find that in your notes or in your Bible if you would. John 3:19. Notice that. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. This is the revelation of God. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I want you to know something. Every man, every woman that you work with who says, "Wow, religion's a bunch of this or that, and Christians are hypocrites, and preachers are this, and I just want to go to hell and be where my buddies are." They don't want to go there. In their heart, they know there is a God, and God has revealed Himself to them, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. You know why many men will not get saved? They want to go on in their lustful ways, in their fornicating ways, in their adultery, their drugs, their alcohol, their sin, their maliciousness. The Bible says men reject the light because they love their darkness. They love their whoremongering. They love their sin. And so they reject the Lord. Oh, the world has possessed the truth. It's just they love their sin a little more. The old-fashioned Word of God or a life of sin, and the world chooses the life of sin. Now let me tell you something. The world has possessed the truth. And from God's scale, There have been at least two times in world history where the whole world possessed the truth. One was when Adam and Eve existed in the garden. And even during that time, with just two people on planet Earth and two people possessing the truth, and the truth was so simple, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, just that simple, even then the entire human race turned against God. Then we come to the day of Noah. The Bible tells us that the day of Noah, the antediluvian society, was a day of wickedness and men doing everything that was wicked and every evil imagination continually. And God brought judgment to the world. And during that time, God showed grace to the world and God saved Noah and his family. But they were hardly off the ark before they started to reject the truth once again. The problem is not that the world doesn't know about God or Jesus or the Ten Commandments. Oh no, the world has possessed the truth. The problem is that the world has perverted the truth. The world has seen the truth, but the world twists the truth or rejects the truth outright. Notice the perversion of the truth in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools. Hello, my name is Dr. Drydust. Welcome to Biology 101. We are here to let all of you little Christians know that you have been under a strong, strong lie, and that the truth is Darwin's theory. You see, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Professing themselves to be broad, they will be destroyed. The perverted truth. Notice the progression of pride, if you will, in verse 21. First, we see indifference. They knew God, but they glorified Him not as God. Oh yeah, God bless America. You know, George Washington, he prayed. That's fine for him. But there were also a lot of people who really didn't believe in God either. God is fine. But we don't need God Bless America songs, and we don't need In God We Trust songs, and I'm glad I live in America, but you know, it's not all that important. Indifference. They glorified Him not as God. Anyone who has a heart and a mind to understand ought to stop and say, God has blessed America. It's just that simple, you see. But not the indifferent one. Not the indifferent American. Well, you know, we've had a lot of good things come our way, and a lot of machinery, and a lot of scientists, a lot of inventions, and that's why we're here. Indifference. That leads, secondly, to ingratitude. For the Bible says in verse 21, neither were thankful. You know the most miserable day on the calendar year for an atheist? Thanksgiving. Who do you thank? They are filled with ingratitude, and many, many of them are very angry people. Indifferent, ingratitude. Thirdly, then, is ignorance. For the Bible says, their foolish heart was darkened. Now, the perversion of the truth has been going on for thousands of years. Some of you recall, after the flood, there was a man named Nimrod, and he was a ruler who erected what was called the Tower of Babel. I mean, just within years of the ark landing on Mount Ararat, now the Tower of Babel is being constructed as man's way to get to God. Once again, forgetting it's not by our works, but doing what they wanted to do to find their way to God. Time and again, men have rejected the truth, and men have truly found themselves perverting the truth throughout the centuries. But notice, thirdly, this morning, not only God's truth revealed, not only God's truth rejected throughout the ages, but I want you to see, thirdly, God's truth replaced. You see, America does not need more religion. People, because of this innate desire or knowledge for God, I should say, oftentimes want religion. And rather than coming to Christ, when they set Christ aside, they must find some type of religion. And so they will replace Christ with another religion.
You've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. We're currently studying a series entitled Which Faith? We're studying the differences between the humanistic, globalistic philosophies of our day and the truth of the Word of God. And friend, of course, the most important truth of this series and the question we're wrestling with is, who do you place your faith in? Have you placed your personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone to be your personal Savior? That's the greatest question you could ever consider. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that number is 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.